Thank you for joining us this week for The Christian Working Woman with Mary Lohman. I'm Julie Bastide. Mary began a ministry for workplace women in her home church in Chicago, and then she began to pray about a radio program that would touch the lives of women like her with practical, biblical teaching that was relevant to a workplace woman's everyday life. Little did she realize at that time that God would expand this ministry not only to include this weekend edition, but also a daily devotional edition of The Christian Working Woman. And between the two programs, we're now heard on about 400 stations nationally and internationally. So whether you've listened for many years or this is your first time, we welcome you. Mary, the years keep ticking off.
Don't remind me, Julie. Honestly, these 37 years have flown by, and I'm so grateful that God continues to give us the privilege of sharing the truth of His Word by way of radio, and now, of course, through many other means over the internet, social media, and so forth. Lots of changes in 37 years.
True, but one thing never changes, and that's the principles of Scripture on which we can build a strong foundation for a fruitful and meaningful life. I find the title of your message today intriguing. Pity parties are pitiful.
Don't you agree, Julie? I mean, self-pity is a huge waste of time and energy. Just plain pitiful.
I do agree. So we're ready to hear your thoughts about pity parties.
Well, we all love parties, those festive occasions when we celebrate something special. But have you ever planned a party that turned out to be a bust? Nobody showed up, or the food was terrible, or a fight broke out. Well, if you've ever had a pity party, then you know how miserable they can be, because pity parties are pitiful. Listen to this passage from Hebrews 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. It dawned on me that one of the most common things that hinders and entangles believers, keeps us from running our race, is self-pity. I believe the enemy has this flaming arrow honed to perfection, and many of us are very vulnerable to self-pity. For example, often single people throw pity parties because they're not married. Or how about those times we felt sorry for ourselves because we received unfair treatment on our jobs? And then there's the famous reason for a pity party. We were accused of something of which we were not guilty. And I think we've had a few pity parties because we didn't get the credit we think we deserved. Or would you admit with me that you've thrown a pity party or two because someone said something that hurt your feelings? It really doesn't take much for us to get a pity party going. Any flimsy excuse will do. Think of how the enemy uses self-pity in our lives. When we're feeling sorry for ourselves, what are some of the usual outcomes? Well, almost always, pity parties cause us to waste time. Just think about it. When you're feeling sorry for yourself, you usually waste a lot of time thinking about how you've been wronged, how you don't deserve what's happened to you, how bad things are. Pity parties take a lot of time away from other important activities. I remember years ago getting home one evening, and I was sorely tempted to throw a pity party because my boss had hurt my feelings that day. I had planned to get some work done that night, but instead I started to feel sorry for myself. I sat down in my favorite chair and I decided, I'm not going to do anything tonight. I have a right to just do nothing. After all, I really have it hard at work. And then it dawned on me what was happening. The enemy was trying to keep me from doing profitable things by tempting me to throw a pity party. So I said out loud to the enemy, not tonight, no sir, I'm not throwing a pity party tonight, and I just refused to wallow in that self-pity. Believe me, that was a change in the way I had often dealt with hurt feelings. But I just wasn't going to let the enemy waste my time through a pity party. And it was a major change point in my life because it was the first time I realized that I can refuse to throw a pity party if I choose to. And I remember thinking that I just didn't want to be miserable. Well, not only do pity parties waste our time, they also waste our energy. Self-pity just drains you. It is, of course, a very emotional reaction, and you spend a lot of emotional energy when you're feeling sorry for yourself. That means you don't have energy for other things that are important. So again, pity parties keep you from doing what you should do because you don't have any energy left after throwing your pity party. Have you noticed this? When you throw a pity party, your imagination runs wild. You start thinking about what someone has done or what has happened, and it grows in importance. In your mind, it becomes a lot worse than it really is. You lose your perspective. And that, of course, causes you to overreact to it. And in that overreaction, what often happens is that relationships are damaged. When our feelings are hurt and we're feeling sorry for ourselves, we just say and do things that hurt others. And because we've lost our perspective, we say and do things we really will regret later on. But once those things are said and done, it may be too late to undo the damage. Self-pity can cause irreparable damage to relationships. When we have pity parties, one thing is certain, we are self-centered. Self-pity is by definition a total concentration on ourselves and how we've been hurt. Self-focused people are always miserable, and besides, being self-focused is a sin. Another inevitable result of self-pity is that it affects our performance. We slow down, we lose motivation, we do our work half-heartedly, or what often happens is we just quit. In our jobs, we may not have the luxury of quitting, so instead our work habits deteriorate. But I wonder how many church and volunteer positions have been abandoned because someone's feelings were hurt. Well, these are just some of the common results of pity parties. Do you see why I say that pity parties are pitiful and why I believe that the enemy uses them very often to entangle us and hinder us and keep us from running our race effectively? Let's try to put self-pity in perspective, how it looks to the Lord. Can you imagine standing before the Lord to give an account of the stewardship of your time and gifts and you're trying to explain it to Him? Lord, I realize I could have gotten involved in that ministry and helped out there, but you see, my feelings were hurt. Beth said something to me that was very unkind, and how can I work with Beth when she's hurt my feelings? I'm sure you understand, Lord. Lord, I would have done that for you, but you see, I was left out. Nobody invited me to be a part of it, so I just figured they didn't want me. Lord, I know you didn't expect me to keep on doing that job after the way they treated me. Someone else came on the scene, and they did what I used to do, so I wasn't going to hang around there and just let them walk all over me like that. Lord, nobody ever said thank you or gave me any credit for what I did, so you understand there was no way I could keep on doing that. Now, none of us would have the nerve to say any of that to the Lord, would we? The minute you try to form the words, you see how foolish they are. The same passage in Hebrews 12 tells us that Jesus endured the cross, scorning its shame, and endured terrible opposition from evil men. Nothing that's happened to us can come close to the wrong that He endured. How can we feel sorry for ourselves if we're going to be like Jesus? He endured the wrong done to Him and never allowed it to detract Him or sidetrack Him. Pity parties are pitiful because they cause us to sin. They make us take our eyes off Jesus and put them on ourselves. They take us out of the race that God has set before us, and they hinder and entangle us pitifully. Pity parties often begin with words like, I deserve, I have a right, I don't have to take this, I didn't get the credit I deserved. When you hear yourself saying those words or thinking those thoughts, stop dead in your tracks because you're headed for a pity party. Why do we have pity parties? Well, let me suggest some reasons that cause us to throw these miserable affairs that do us so much harm. I've noticed that pity parties happen more often when I have too much time on my hands. Busy, disciplined people don't have time for pity parties. Notice that I said busy and disciplined. You may have lots to do, but still throw a pity party if you're not disciplined to get busy and do what you have to do instead of feeling sorry for yourself. When I am self-focused rather than others-focused and God-focused, then I'm much more likely to throw a pity party. The Bible tells us in Philippians 2 to consider others more important than ourselves. We are told to have servant attitudes, to focus on serving other people. When I have that mind in me, that Jesus attitude in me, I won't have too many pity parties. But as soon as I spend time thinking about poor me, that self-pity starts to take over. When I am more concerned with fair treatment and getting credit than getting the job done, pity parties are common. If I'm focused on staying in the race and seeing things happen rather than how I'm treated or recognized, I just forget to have the pity party. Well, we're about out of time here today, but next week I want to conclude this discussion about pity parties. And I'm going to give you 6 ways to avoid pity parties. I hope you'll plan to tune in for the last part of Pity Parties Are Pitiful, because I really am convinced that all of us need to get serious about avoiding these pitiful pity parties. I can remember so well when it finally began to dawn on me that I spent a lot of time in self-pity. I had never really thought about it. But the Lord spoke to me through His Word and through a message I heard, and I realized, you spend a lot of time in self-pity. I began to understand how damaging that was for me and how crippling it was in my work for the Lord to spend and waste so much time feeling sorry for myself. And of course, it never did any good, right? It just made me miserable and kept me from the race that God had set out for me. So I really want to encourage you to stop and think about how often are you feeling sorry for yourself. I have learned, and you probably have too, that one of the best gifts you can give yourself is self-forgetfulness. Just don't think about yourself so much. Just fill your life with the good things that God has for you to do so that you're no time left over to feel sorry for yourself, to even think about yourself. Thinking about others cures pity parties. Meanwhile, let me suggest something for you to do this week. First, pray and ask God to make you sick of your pity parties. Ask Him to make you aware of every pity party you try to have so that you can stop throwing them. You're going to discover how much nicer your life will be when you don't let self-pity in the door of your mind. Our pity parties do us more harm than they do anyone else. So I hope you'll take this challenge and ask God to make you aware of and sick of pity parties so that you just want to avoid them no matter what.
6 ways to avoid pity parties. That sounds like something all of us could use, so we'll look forward to that next week. You're right, Mary, we can slip into a state of self-pity before we even realize it. We really do have to keep our guard up and watch for the signs of self-pity. Well, no doubt some of you may want to read this message again or share it with others, use it in a talk you have to give or something like that. Please be our guest. You'll find Mary's messages on our website, christianworkingwoman.org, and you're welcome to use them in any way that is helpful. You'll also find on our website our prayer journal. This is such a helpful tool in organizing and growing your prayer life, and so I encourage you to take a look at christianworkingwoman.org. Remember, you can follow Mary on Facebook and Instagram, and please don't forget to listen next week for the 6 ways to avoid pitiful pity parties. I'm Julie. Thanks for listening today to The Christian Working Woman with Mary Lohman.